Dickerson, Colony, Callis behind the glass, and our guy, Neil Walker. He's joining the show right now. Good morning, Neil. How you doing, man?
Good morning. And you got the legend on this morning. Hi,
yeah,
Jim.
That's right, Neil. You're joining us. Yeah, hi, Neil. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to hear from you guys.
You know, I keep wanting to invite you out to Pheasant Ridge to play golf, but I never know you're on the road. You're so busy. I don't want to bother you.
Well, I did stack up a lot of my games in April and May and early June this year, but I've been itching to get out to my Route 8 courses in Pheasant Ridge and Pittsburgh National. Those are my go-tos right there.
I never golfed with you before. We got to go golfing sometime.
Well, I never have either.
I mean, like, the guy is busy. He's Neil Walker.
So. It's hard to get people. I can't get anybody to play half the time because I've always got I'll ask people and they can't for one reason or another. It's everybody's, even when people are retired, like, I'm busy but I'm not busy. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Neil, whenever I read this list to you, I want to get your response of this list. As soon as I finish up this list, I want your immediate response.
Okay.
Pirates Cardinals, Pirates Mets, Pirates Brewers. That's the schedule starting tomorrow.
Yeah. It's certainly, and obviously they just played Atlanta these last 3 days and were able to salvage that series yesterday. But this is big boy baseball coming in as the calendar has switched to July. So, we heard Ben Cherington's comments before the game yesterday. He still really believes in this group from the offensive side of things, even though it's been a little bit ugly as a group, not so much with everybody, but they've had a tough time scoring runs, but run prevention has certainly been their biggest key factor in staying in this thing and floating around 500. But make no mistake, at this point, at least in our division, you're going to have to go through the Brewers to get to the top. So you got to take care of these. Pirates haven't played a ton of division games so far this year. So it's going to be really important for them to take care of business against the Cardinals, but also really try to put some pressure on the Brewers going into the end of the month.
You know, Neil, I thought we talked about this earlier, and I'm watching, and I don't watch as many games as I used to because I don't have to, but I do watch when Paul Skenes is pitching. I pay attention to that. And Saturday, I actually jotted down a note that said this is his first bad start. And it wasn't just another leadoff homer. It was all the other stuff that was going on. And yet at the same time, I thought by the end, it was one of his best starts because he didn't rely on blowing people away, swing and miss. He actually had to become more of a, I don't know, more of a cerebral pitcher, if that makes any sense. I was really impressed by that he wasn't blowing people away, yet he managed to make it through six innings and allowed just that one run.
Yeah, and a lot of instances with young pitchers that are coming into the big leagues, especially that have, maybe a wipeout slider or a high velocity fastball. I mean, we're seeing they tend to have a tougher time kind of adjusting on the fly and going away from what really worked for them coming up through the minor leagues. And what we're seeing with Skenes is just a really polished approach from him when something's not working, whether he's identified that in the bullpen going into the game or whether he's identified that the first time through the order or whatever the case may be, for the first four or five starts, he was mainly fastball splinker, and we saw him kind of sprinkle in the curveball and the slider and even a changeup as well. And now we're starting to see him kind of navigate lineups more on a start-by-start situation. I mean, he threw a lot more curveballs to that good Atlanta Braves offense than we've seen him throw. He wasn't just relying on the fastball, as you mentioned. He was in the last two times out, the first batter of the game with Tampa Bay at home, and now Atlanta first batter home run. So sometimes that can rattle guys' cages. That's not the case with Paul. So. We're really seeing that development, even though he hasn't necessarily needed much development. He's probably as polished a guy as we've seen get to the big leagues in a long time, maybe since Strasburg. But he's making the necessary adjustments, and he's doing that with his third or fourth best pitch, which are still high, high quality pitches. So really fun to watch. It's certainly, as you mentioned, turned into much watch television. And man, I hope these next couple weeks go well for the Pirates, and maybe we see some sort of addition that can help them, particularly on the offensive side of things. But this could be a lot of fun going into late July, early August, if the boys can get on a run.
Neil, can you break down the Olivera slide from Saturday? I mean, you know, not many people understand that professional sports are bang, bang. Things happen so quick. And sometimes it's just hard to get all the details aligned. And you just make decisions because things are happening so fast. You just react a certain way. But if you were to draw that play up and to show maybe a classroom full of baseball students of how the proper way to do it, how would it be? How would you show that, and should it have gone?
Well, it's interesting because you don't hear a lot of people kind of talk about sliding into home, which is obviously a flat base. There's no such thing, obviously, as, you know, somewhat of the hover rule. When you're sliding into the bases, second and third, you're really taught to you know, basically slide feet first, kind of up and hit that bag as quickly as you can and extend that leg. Some guys tend to slide a little bit more on their side, one side or the other. But when you're sliding into home, sometimes in Olivera's case, his cleat got kind of caught in the dirt and then popped up. That kind of is easier to do than it seems, because you're not really worried about at home. You're trying to slide into the front part of the base, especially in a situation like that, when you know it's going to be bang bang. But sometimes you overshoot and are trying to dig your cleat into the into home plate, and you just catch it, you know, 6-8 inches before, and that's what happens. You either get stuck and kind of pop up like a pop slide, or the only thing that your body can do is your foot has to hover above the ground. And I haven't seen a play like that in a while, where a guy slid into home and it was a bang bang play on a pass ball or a wild pitch. But in a lot of instances, at least when I tried to slide into home, I tried to slide a little bit more on my side, like the side of my leg, so that it's a lot easier to extend your leg and keep it down on the ground than it is with your heel leading, because it can easily catch, as I said, 5-6 inches in front of home plate and pop up for just a split second. And in that instance, you know, who knows if that necessarily cost us the game, but it's certainly the wind went out of the sails as soon as that play happened.
But can you understand now from your standpoint, I ran this by Doran earlier, because you guys are like real athletes as opposed to me, who is, as John Jaso would refer to me, as a JV player. But when people like us, meaning like regular old fans, recreational athletes, we know what to do. We know how to do it. We just can't do it athletically the way that you guys did. And as can you even identify with that for people like us, how frustrating it is to know, I know what to do in that situation. I'm not a head first slide guy for the most part, but that's an instance where a head first slide makes a lot of sense. But can you understand a fan's frustration for people that know what to do, know how to do it, but just can't because we're not athletes? If that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. And your first reaction when you see that is, well, why didn't he go head first into home? Well, I can tell you that most injuries, whether it be fingers or wrists or head injuries, a lot of them occur sliding head first into home, because you're dealing with either a catcher or you're dealing with a pitcher that's moving, that's probably falling to his knees while you're sliding in. Yeah, so I totally agree with what you're saying, but all it takes is that one time sliding into home, and in a lot of instances when you know, push comes to shove and you absolutely have to have that, maybe you ask Olivares and he says, I wish I would have slid head first, regardless of whether he felt like it was a potential of getting hurt, a shoulder, a wrist, a finger. But you see more of that later in the season when teams are really, really grinding to score runs and almost playing must-win baseball, and of course in the playoffs, you'll see kind of those rules of the don't slide into first or don't slide into home completely out the window. And guys are saying, well, I don't really care. But when it's early in the season or it's a mid-season, and of course, yeah, I consider most of these series must-win series from here on out. But boy, you would hate to see Olivares have slid into home and catch a knee from the pitcher. But I can 100% understand the frustrations from the fans' perspective.
Well, Neil, we appreciate you, and it's good to talk to you, and thanks for joining the show, man. I'll talk to you, maybe in a couple days, huh?
Yeah. You guys enjoy the week. Have a great 4th of July, and hopefully we get some awesome weather this week for everybody's parties.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Neil.
All right, see you, Neil.